Ramsey TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, you remember I've told you many times how God has set up traps in order to trap humanity in their own wisdom, their own arrogance, even their own stupidity. God uses stupid things in order to trap the so-called wise in their wisdom. People think they're smarter than God, and God shows that. God demonstrates it eventually to themselves when it is manifest that they actually thought that God was stupid and that if they were God, they would do things a different way. It seems impossible that people could think they're smarter than God, wiser than God, would have a better plan than God. And how could a person ever be convinced of that unless there was a trap set by God? And God has set traps, and the trap is doing stupid things, doing things foolishly that appear foolish. But of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of humans. And so humans will be caught in this trap of looking at things that God does. The prime example I always give is Noah's Ark, or even the creation, Adam and Eve in the garden, things that people consider Bible stories and fanciful little tales of how creation began, but not really, haha. Well, that is how creation did begin in Genesis, and Noah's Ark happened. God led the animals into the ark, two by two, and killed every inhabitant of the earth except for eight people. And people hear that, and they think, well, that's ridiculous. Or even Christ dying on the cross for the sins of humanity. People look at that as weakness. And so even though these accounts are in Scripture, people deny it because they think it's too stupid, and thus God has set the trap, and the trap closes on these people trapped in their own so-called wisdom, deeming themselves, it is proven, it is on record, to be wiser than God, smarter than God, stronger than God. That's one of the traps God sets. I'm going to tell you another one that just occurred to me today. Bowled over with this revelation today, and I'm going to carry this out for the rest of the week. This is Martin Sender. You're at MCTV, and I'm glad you are. I'm going to make you glad that you are. God traps people. He calls it the snare of the cross. What's the snare of the cross? That God could take the crucifixion of a human being who he sent, his own son, to represent, to take on all the sin of the world, to represent the first Adam, but to be better than the first Adam. And he accomplished the reconciliation of the world so completely, so thoroughly, by such a mean, despicable, horrible death that he declared, Jesus Christ himself declared from that cross, it is finished. And yet, the announcement that that cross is complete is too much for some people. It's too much for religious people, let's just say that. They can't stand the completeness of it because they want to contribute to their salvation. And so God has set another trap. Again, I guess this is related to the first trap, the stupidity of the things God chooses. And that which is despicable, and that which is despised by humans, God chooses these things in order to show that even his stupidity is smarter than human beings. Even God's weakness is stronger than human beings. Even God's foolishness is wiser than human beings, than the wisdom of human beings. And so these traps are ingenious because it cannot be argued. When the people are exposed to themselves at the great white throne, it will be shown, it will be seen, it will be evident by them that, oh my God, yes. Yes, I can see now. You set a trap for me. I fell right into it. I was too smart in my own estimation. I thought I was smart. I wasn't. I was actually the stupid one, and it's going to be seen. Well, listen to this trap. Look at this trap. This came to me today. It just bowled me over. King Solomon set a trap for a woman in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. This was a trap. Let me remind you of the account here. There were two women living together. They each had babies close to one another. The one woman inadvertently during the night smothered her infant. And that witch snuck into the other woman's room, traded the dead infant for the other woman's living infant, And when the poor woman whose infant was taken from her woke up to her baby, who was dead, freaked out, but then realized, wait a minute, this isn't my baby. I know my baby, this isn't my baby. Realized that the other woman had taken her son, and that was confirmed when she went over to her bedroom and said, what the hell? And so these women then took their case before Solomon. This isn't a children's Bible story. This happened. This is an account. So the women take the dead baby and the living baby. They both claim that the living baby was theirs. The woman, rightly the mother of the baby, said what happened. Everything I just told you. I woke up. There was this dead baby next to me, but I realized it wasn't my baby. And this lady over here, she's the one who rolled over the freaking baby, not me. Smothered accidentally, not me. So what does Solomon do? How does he decide? There's no witnesses. These women were living alone in their home. That's brought out in the account. What does Solomon do? He sets a trap. He sets a trap for the woman who's lying. And here's the trap. Solomon says, well, I have reached a royal decision. We're going to cut the baby in half. Then you can each have half. And everybody will go home happy. The true mother said, no, 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 please don't cut the baby in half. Let the child live. Give it to this other lady. Give it to this liar. Give it to this freak. This baby traitor. This baby smotherer traitor. Give it to her. Just don't kill the kid. What does the other lady do? No, no, kill the kid. She says, yeah, that sounds fair to me, Solomon. Good idea. Do you think King Solomon, the wisest king that ever lived, intended to cut that baby in half? No, he was not ever going to cut that baby in half. Never going to do it. But he said he was going to find out who the sick puppy was. To find out who the sick freak was. Who would agree to it just to rob the other woman of even having her son alive. Solomon set this trap. He has no intention of killing the baby. But Solomon's thinking to himself, going to find out who the sick puppy is here. What occurred to me? This is precisely what God has done. To find out who the sick puppies are who will believe something that God would never do. And that is eternally torment most of his creation. He would never do it. He's a God of love. It's said in Scripture that he's love. And yet certain Scriptures can be mistranslated, are mistranslated, and then subsequently misinterpreted. And some parables are thought to be literal, the rich man and Lazarus. In other words, there are opportunities put by God. God, as I've told you many times, purposely had the Scriptures mistranslated. The critical word ion that's been mistranslated, eternal, actually means a period of time. When you straighten that word out, and several versions do it, Young's literal New Testament does it, Concordant literal New Testament does it, the Rotherham emphasized Bible does it, the diaglot, the Greek diaglot does it. There's other versions that get that word right. The doctrine of eternal torment disappears. It's not in properly translated Scripture. Never entered the mind of God to actually do it. But he puts in his word a mistranslated word that people who are not careful, who just go through the Scriptures just to somehow justify their own beliefs, their own opinions, or they get their doctrines from a drive-through window from their pastors or their priests. God traps them with this. So he presents something via this mistranslated word that he would never do. It's like God says, okay, I'm going to mistranslate the Scripture at a critical point. You can find the answer with a concordance or just by looking at other context. You can find the answer in other plain verses. 1 Timothy 4:10, God's the Savior of all humanity. 1 Corinthians 15:22 through 23, you know, as an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Romans 11:36, everything returns to God. Ephesians 1:10, Colossians 1:20, everything in heaven and on earth will be reconciled to God. through the blood of the cross. All these verses, you can get the truth of the salvation of all. But God says, I'm going to find out where the sick puppies are. I'm going to find out who's twisted, who's evil, who's devilish, who's diabolical. By saying that I'm going to do this in a mistranslated word. That's the equivalent of Solomon saying, I'm going to cut the baby in half. That way it'll be fair. Solomon would never do that. Likewise, God says, I'm going to eternally torment some of my, many of my creatures who don't believe in me. He would never do that. And the scripture doesn't say, a rightly translated scripture doesn't say he will do it. Nowhere. In fact, the opposite is true. The salvation of all is in properly translated scripture. You can find it in many places. I just named a few. Solomon says, I just found out who the bitch is. You. I just found out who the sick puppy is. That's you. And God is finding out who the sick puppies are with the false teaching of eternal torment. It's like God's stepping back and saying, okay, let's see who goes for this. Let's see who likes this. Let's see who is satisfied with this false teaching and who will not look one step beneath the surface to find out if this is true or not, who somehow are not disturbed by even the possibility that God could be an eternal tormentor, and look up words, look up verses, go on the internet, look for a concordance to find the right translation of words, as any normal person would do who's thinking, God is love. How could he possibly torture people in flames forever? Yeah, that's a smart person. That's a well puppy. That's a healthy puppy right there. But the sick ones, the twisted ones, the dark ones, who will say, oh yeah, that sounds good. God will expose them to themselves. At the great white throne, they will stand exposed. And there will be no arguing about it. There will be no defense because God said, I set the trap. Just like Solomon set the trap for that woman. She exposed herself. Solomon just set the trap and stood back. He set the trap, stood back. The sick puppy came forward. Same with eternal torment. God is just setting the trap and standing back, relatively speaking. Setting the trap, standing back. Let's see who actually likes this. Let's see who gloms onto it. And there are millions and millions and millions and millions of them. And they will be exposed to themselves at the great white throne. They have fallen into the trap, the same trap they fall into when they don't believe in the sufficiency of the cross. We need to contribute something. We need our free wills to be the thing that saves us. The same trap that these cute little Bible stories that are actually historical truth trap people in their own wisdom. Oh, that's ridiculous. If I were God, I wouldn't do that. Well, you're not God, and you just fell into the trap. You moron. You complete and utter moron. You fell into the trap, and you're going to be exposed horribly, embarrassingly at the great white throne, and you're going to have no place to go. It'll be evident for everybody. God just set the trap, stood back, and watch you make a freaking fool of yourself. Watch you trip over. Watch you fall right into it. And like once you're at the bottom of that hole, hey, there ain't no like, that wasn't me. It's like slipping on a banana peel. You know, there's only one thing stupider than slipping on a banana peel, and that's pretending that you didn't. Well, nobody will be able to pretend that they're not at the bottom of this trap. And it's like, yep, I liked it. I admit it. Okay, I liked eternal torment. Yep, I liked it. I wanted it. It sounded good to me. Shit. You got me, God. Oh, yeah, what's going to happen then? Well, we'll see what's going to happen then. The trap was set with a purposely mistranslated scripture, with Christianity being the most popular teaching, with eternal torment being the most popular teaching, free will being the most popular teaching. That's a trap too. Oh, it's all been systematized. It's all been wonderfulized. It's all been officialized. We have people going to schools who say, yes, of course this is true. Of course this is true. That's the trap. And people fall into it left and right, front and center, top and bottom, by the billions. And they're all going to be exposed at the great white throne. They're going to go, oops, you and I, my friends, ladies and gentlemen, have been spared from this horror. But God is a righteous God. These people who have fallen into the trap, they're eventually going to be saved. Yes, that's right. As I like to say, if you want proof of the grace of God, it is this, that the grace of God even covers Christians.